Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Guest speaker with us today. He comes from Salford. I come from the East End, but we have a very similar background. And not only do we have a similar background, but we also have a similar future going forward now, because we're both saved and set free and delivered. And he's become a really, really good friend. He is one of, in my opinion, one of the preeminent foremost evangelists in this nation. I'm not saying that lightly. Someone said to me, where's all the evangelists? You know, when Billy Graham passed away, they said, where's all the evangelists? And there's a few that you can name, but they seem to be, you know, going to be with the Lord. Who is there who can take up the mantle? Well, here's a man that has dedicated his life now in Christ to traveling and reaching people with the gospel. He goes everywhere around this nation. Prisons, you'll find him in prisons preaching. You'll find him out on the streets preaching, churches preaching, conferences preaching. And he's even the brains and the heart behind the fixed conference that we have that's coming up later on this year, where we gather together with, you know, people that come from addiction, addicts, recovering addicts, people that probably should have been addicts, amen, people that work with addicts, but he is there, and we put this conference on, and people come and they give their life to Christ, they get changed, they get set free. He's here with his beautiful wife, Tina. I would like you to help me to welcome today Barry Woodward, author and evangelist, amen. He is going to come right now and just bless your socks.
Nice to see you, Nice. Turn to somebody near to you and say you're looking pretty hot today. Now try and convince them that you really meant that. If you'd been listening to the police officer chatting on his radio that night, you'd have heard it for yourself. I was living on Darnhill Council Estate at the time, in a tower block with my girlfriend on the seventh floor. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We were smoking weed and whizzing off our heads on amphetamine, listening to house music. Actually, it was techno. My eyes were bulging out of my head and my jaw was swinging from side to side in time with the music. Then I thought I heard the door go, so I turned the music down a bit. Lise, is that the door? The door went again. Yeah, it is. Who's that? Is that the police? No, they don't knock. Lise went to the door. It was Bob. Bob was a classic old-time drinker and drug user. You should have seen him. He wore big hobnail boots. He had a greasy ponytail and a face like a wet weasel. Come in, Bob. Sit down. Bob sits in the chair in the corner next to the music equipment. I had a little home recording studio set up there. He looks at it. He said, hey, I like that lot. How does it all work? So I got up and I turned that tape off that I've been playing on loop for 6 weeks. For the younger ones, a tape is the first version of an MP3. And then I turned the equipment on and I started to show Bob how I played live house music. Lee says, do you want a brew and cheese and piccalilli butty, Bob? Go on then, why not? She goes into the kitchen, me and Bob are talking away. And then he says, can I use your toilet? Yeah, mate, it's through that door on the left. He goes to the toilet, comes back, sits down. We carry on talking. And then he lifts his arm up like this. And I see my watch on his wrist. Is that my blankety-blank watch? No, is it? Heck, it's mine. So I grabbed his wrist and looked. And it was my watch. It had a scratch on the glass. There was no two like it. That is my blankety blank watch. What he'd done, he'd gone to the toilet, slipped into the bedroom, took my watch from my bedside cabinet and put it on his wrist. You can imagine, I went ballistic. I had a long police issue riot stick. This was leaning next to one of the speakers underneath the Bob Marley flag that was hung on the wall. I grabbed it and I laid into him. Who do you think you are coming into my flat? My girlfriend's making you a cheese and piccalilli butty. And you've got the cheek to go into my bedroom and take my blankety-blank watch from my bedside cabinet and put it on your wrist. Lisa's shouting, Barry, stop it, you're going to kill him. I don't care. That was my piccalilli. Eventually, I stopped. Bob rushed out of the flat, walking and limping. Cuts all over his head, blood running down his face, all over the floor. 5 minutes later, the police came bursting through the door. I told you they don't knock. They came into the living room. One of them was chatting on his radio. He had a quick look round. The victim isn't here. He's gone. And then he said he's walking wounded. I got arrested and taken to the police station. The police officer said that night that Bob was walking wounded. This is the term used by the emergency services for someone who's been wounded in an incident but is still able to walk. Do you know, in a way, we are all walking wounded. I know that most of you haven't been wounded in the same way that Bob was that night. So don't you get worried. I'm not going to get out my long police issue riot stick and start lashing out. I don't do that anymore. You'll be glad to know. But I do know that we've all been wounded by those incidents that occur in life that leave us in some sort of pain. We've all been wounded in this way, haven't we? So we're all walking wounded. What can we learn from these wounds? Here are four lessons for you to take away. Number one, wounds are a legacy from the past. The online dictionary says that a legacy is anything handed down from the past. Paul in the Bible said this to a bunch of people towards the end of his life. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. This was Paul handing down his legacy. See, a legacy can be anything. It doesn't have to be something that is material, like money. It can be something that is non-material. Even family sayings. My wife, Tina, keeps telling me that I sound like my dad. Raise your hand if you know what I mean. Do you ever say anything and sound like one of your parents or somebody that you spent a lot of time with? I do. I agree with Tina. Sometimes I'll say something and think, I sounded just like my dad then. When I finish a meal, I'll say, oh, it was lovely that. My dad used to say this when he finished a meal. Oh, it was lovely that. Now I'm saying it. Oh, it was lovely that. When I'm calling our cat over, I'll go, come on, kid. My dad used to say this to his dog. Come on, kid. Now I'm saying it. A-up is another one. A-up, Baz. Now I'm saying it. A-up, listen. He was born in Yorkshire, and I was born in Manchester. Manx don't say A-up. Don't fit, does it? Nice one, top one, sorted, bang out of order, innit? A-up can't be mine. See, he's handed down some of his sayings to me. A legacy is anything handed down from the past. So your wounds are a legacy from the past. You just need to realize it. In 2016, October, we published a new book called Fixed Lives. And it just so happens that we've got some with us. They're on that table over there. There's some other bits and bobs on that table. My own book that came out in 2007, Once an Addict. When it came out, I said to my trustees, I want to give a copy of that to every prisoner in the United Kingdom. Do you know right now there's 84,000 prisoners behind bars in the United Kingdom? We've sent 44,000 copies of Once an Addict into jails free of charge to date. There is one small way that you can support that. For every one copy of Once an Addict you buy, we then send two into prisons. So you're buying one and we're going to send two. There's some other bits on there as well. All the proceeds from that table go into the charity, and it helps us particularly do the work that we do in prisons because we don't get a lot of funding for that. Fixed Lives. It's got 13 stories in it of lives that have been fixed by God. Pastor Paul Lloyd's story is in there. Another story that's in there is a guy called Cyril Wilding. I know some of you know Cyril, but let me introduce you to him if you don't know him. Cyril's got short hair, a cheeky smile, and he's one of those guys who can't do enough for you. Have you met somebody like that? Cyril was born in Wigan. Then when he was 12 years of age, he was groomed by a relative. This so-called relative and another man sexually abused Cyril non-stop for 2 years. You can imagine. This knocked him for six. His life spiraled out of control. He started to drink, take drugs, fight, commit crime. He ended up in a gang in Cheetah Mill. It was in the middle of this mess when Cyril started to cut himself. At first, he would rip open a beer can with his teeth and he would use the ragged edge as a blade and he would cut himself and cut himself and cut himself. And then he started to use sharp knives and he cut himself and cut himself and cut himself. You should see Cyril's arms. They're covered in wounds. Cyril got sent to prison and the wounds on his arms are so bad that they put him on suicide watch. One day, a prison visitor called Beryl went to see him in his cell. She said, "Cyril, I've come to see you because I've heard that you like to cut yourself." He said, "I do." She said, "Do you mind if I pray with you, Cyril?" He said, "If you want." That day in his cell, Beryl prayed with Cyril, and Cyril met with God, and he stopped cutting himself. Now Cyril is in his early 40s. He's married to a cracking Scottish girl called Laura. Both stand up. And they both work at the Message Trust. Thank you. I was chatting with Cyril not so long back, and I asked him what he thought about his wounds. Now, he said, "I'm okay with them, really. At one point, I was going to get them covered over with tattoos, but I didn't, because I realized that my wounds are a legacy from the past." Wounds are a legacy from the past. What about you and your wounds? Have you been wounded by a family member? Have you been wounded by somebody who broke your trust? Have you been wounded when you've cut yourself, maybe like Cyril? Listen, listen, listen. Whichever way it is that you've been wounded, you need to know that those wounds don't dictate your future. Today I'm talking about the walking wounded. Wounds are a legacy from the past. And number two, wounds don't dictate the future. I know for many of us here, the opposite is the case. Because our wounds have dictated your future. Of yours, I know mine have. I was wounded again and again and again. And for years, these wounds dictated my future. If you'd been around back in the day when I was a dealer in Moss Side, you'd have seen me. I was making lots of money. And the more money that I made, the more drugs that I took. My heroin habit was massive. Taking all kinds of drugs. I got arrested and put in Platt Lane Police Station. In those days, there was no treatment for those who were addicts. And some of you know the kind of pain that I was going through. Man, I was in so much pain. One night, I looked out of the hatch in my cell door, and I saw this little 4-foot creature sat on the floor. Where did that come from? You should have seen it. It was thin, it had a flat skull, and it was wearing a white headscarf like an Arab. And this little creature was sat on the floor getting some heroin ready to inject. I said, give me some of that. I've got some money in my property. I'll pay you when I get out. This creature looked up, smiled, its teeth were all black and broken. I said, come on, give me some of that. I'll pay you when I get out. Then I heard the keys jangling. The police officer was walking down the corridor to my cell. Hurry up, the cop was coming. He got outside my cell and he walked right through the creature to my cell door. He said, can I get you something? Daft question. A couple of grams of smack would be nice and it works. Some tritic and a spoon. Here I was in a cell in so much pain and hallucinating. I was wounded. Ouch. I didn't see my mum and dad for months. By now they knew that I was on drugs because the police were always turning up on their doorstep. One day I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go round to see my mum to get some money so I can score. When I got there, I knocked on the door, but my mum wasn't in. My dad answered it. Oh, no. I didn't want to see him. He said, of all the things in the world you've turned out to be, and you've turned out to be a blankety blank blank. He wasn't happy. Blankety blank smackhead. You're not my son anymore. He disowned me. We didn't speak for 7 years. I was wounded again. Ouch. One time, I was going out with a girl called Tanya. Tanya didn't take drugs, so I took them behind her back. When I was going out with Tanya, all I would do all day long while she was out at work was practice DJing on my Technics 1200 turntables. And I practiced and practiced and practiced. And then one day, after lots of practice, I finally mastered the art of being able to mix in time or waka wong. And in key, a chucka chung every time. I was buzzing. Tanya came in from work. I said, Tanya, come and listen. I can mix in time a waka wong. And in key, a chucka chung every time. She wasn't impressed. I'd be out all day. I was 9 stone. My skin was milk bottle white. You just should have seen me. I look like Smeagol from the Lord of the Rings on ecstasy. Not surprised in the end, she sussed out I was on drugs. She didn't need to be Sherlock to work that one out. We split up. I was wounded again. Ouch. I ended up in the Pavilion Gardens in Buxton, naked, thinking that God had sent me there. I'd knocked on 10 different hotel doors. God sent me here. I need a room for the night. I didn't get a room. So I parked my car in the Pavilion Gardens car park, got out, went for a walk. I came to a stream. I thought, oh, I need to cross it. So I took off all my clothes, stepped into the stream, waded across to the other side. Walked up the bank, came to a big building with a glass door. Bang, 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 the light came on. A woman came walking down the corridor. God sent me here. I need a room for the night. You should have seen her face. She didn't open the door. Do you blame her? Would you open the door to a naked Mancunian? At 3:20 in the morning, they look like Smeagol. My precious, ain't it? Then I saw that blue flashing light coming down that pathway towards where I was. No siren. Oh no, it's the Dibble. And my clothes are on the other side of the river. So I ran back down to the river, waded across. But I couldn't see my clothes. The car stopped. I thought, oh no, I need to get away. I'm going to jump into the river to escape. So I looked for a bit that looked really deep. And I stood with my back to this little river stream thing. And I held my nose and I jumped back. It was only an inch deep. Coppers came to the side. I said to one of them, God sent me here. I need a room for the night. He said, we can sort you a room out. I got arrested, taken to the police station, ended up remanded in custody, got sent to Leicester Prison. They put me on the hospital wing. I was wounded again. Ouch. You see, I was wounded again and again and again. And for years, these wounds dictated my future. And then, after being an addict for 15 years, something changed. I met three people throughout a 10-day period. All of them were Christians. One of them invited me to church, so I went. I was sat in that building that morning thinking, these guys were all basket cases. Waving flags around and all of that. Then this guy gets up to speak and he said, we believe in a God who can heal. Is there anybody in this room who's got any issues? I'm thinking, does he want some of the issues? I've got more issues than Vogue. If you want to be prayed for, come to the front. I thought, what have I got to lose? And I got out of my seat and I walked to the front. All right, Rev. What can I pray with you for? I'm thinking, how long have you got? He prayed for me that day. And I had a light bulb moment. That day I was prayed for in the name of Jesus. And I was changed. And I stand before you today, 22 years later, still changed. You can't tell me that God isn't real. You can't tell me that God isn't alive. He's real, he's alive, and he's active. That was when God's plan was activated in my life, and it soon became clear to me that my wounds don't dictate the future, because God's come up with a better idea. I found it in the Bible where he says, there is hope for your future. So now my wounds don't dictate my future anymore. Yeah, I'm still walking wounded, because we're all walking wounded, but now my wounds don't dictate my future. What about your wounds? Have you been wounded by a family member? Have you been wounded by somebody who abandoned you? Have you been wounded by somebody who broke your trust? Have you been wounded time and time again like me? Listen, it doesn't matter how you've been wounded. With God on your case, those wounds don't dictate your future. You see, God's got a whole new future that is packed with hope planned out for you. God's instructed, but the Bible says that God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan to prosper you. He's got a plan not to harm you. He's got a plan to give you a hope and a future. He's got that plan just for you, but it needs to be activated. And when it is, it becomes clear that your wounds don't dictate your future. Today, I'm talking about the walking wounded. Wounds are a legacy from the past. Wounds don't dictate your future. And number three, wounds are not beyond repair. The police officer said that night that Bob was walking wounded. And I know there are some of you here right now who feel a little bit like Bob. You feel like you've been hit with a long police issued riot stick. You've been hurt. You're in pain. You've been wounded. Listen, those wounds are not beyond repair. David in the Bible said this, speaking from experience, that God heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. See, your wounds and not beyond repair. Lisa Oyabande discovered this. Some of you know Lisa. Lisa's got black hair, blue eyes, a bubbly character, and she's married to a Nigerian guy called Deli, actually Dr. Deli. Lisa was a heroin addict working on the streets in Bradford. Then she was going out with a dealer. One night she was staying at his flat. The next morning they heard somebody banging on the door. So a boyfriend went to the door, opened it. It was his ex-girlfriend. She wasn't happy. She came steaming through the door into the bedroom where Lisa was lay, and she started to lay into her. Lisa's half asleep. She jumps up, pushes her away, and she feels something damp. Blood was everywhere. Oh no, I've been stabbed. A boyfriend and boyfriend's brother wrestled the girl to the ground. Lisa was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. She had 70 stitches. In fact, the wounds in her chest were so bad that they had to use staples. You can imagine that this vicious attack hit her hard. She was not for six. She lived with these wounds for 8 years. And then she met some Christians who invited her to church just up the road from here on Chapel Street. So she went that night. Lisa turned up at church wearing her thigh high, black lace up leather, high heel, red or dead boots. She said, "I felt really out of place." Does that sound familiar, being out of place in church? Just for me. When I went to church for the first time, the guy said at the end, "We're going to stand up, we're going to get into a circle, and we're going to hold hands." Hold hands with another man? What would my dad think? Oh no, we're going to do that Pentecostal two-step dancing in a circle. I know how she felt. She said, "Even though I felt out of place, the guy who was speaking spoke right into my situation. It was like he had read my mail." Then at the end he said, "If there's anybody in this room who's got past hurt and past pain and you want to be prayed for, come to the front." So she got out of her seat and she walked to the front. She knelt down and she was prayed for. And as she was prayed for, she told me, she started to cry. And the more this guy prayed for, the more she cried. She said, "The more I cried, the more I felt relieved." And she said, "When he finished praying, I stood up and it was like I emerged out of those tears, a brand new person, because God had taken away all my hurt and all my pain." You see, God heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. You see, your wounds are not beyond repair. What God did for Lisa, he can do for you. See, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God became a man. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. And he came to this earth and he was tempted just like you, but he resisted temptation. And at the age of 33, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. On that day, he carried a heavy wooden cross through town. He was wounded. On that day, they beat him with steel poles. He was wounded. On that day, they put a crown of thorns on his head. He was wounded. On that day, they hammered nails through his hands and through his feet. He was wounded. On that day, Jesus, God with skin on, he became walking wounded. The Bible says that by his wounds, we are healed. He died on that cross to pay the price for your faults, your flaws, and your failures. He died on that cross to take away all your hurt and all your pain. You see, he knows, you know, that we're all walking wounded. That's why he came. And right now, he's getting ready to bandage some of your wounds. But some of you need to give him consent to come in. Some of you need to get him into the driving seat of your life so he can get busy. The choice is yours. What are you going to do? Today I'm talking about the walking wounded. Wounds are a legacy from the past. Wounds don't dictate the future. Wounds are not beyond repair. And number four, wounds position you to walk with the wounded. The police officer said that night that Bob was walking wounded. This is the term used by the emergency services for someone who's been wounded in an incident but is still able to walk. And you know, in a major incident, when the victims outweigh the resources, the emergency services will often use the walking wounded to assist them with others who've been wounded. You've all seen it on the TV, haven't you? When there's been a major incident of some kind. You see the carnage and the chaos on the street. The collapsed buildings, the dust, the rubble, the overturned cars, shops that are on fire, people walking around shocked and dazed, paramedics rushing around. And then you see that one guy wearing a dirty ripped suit with his tie to one side, blood running down his face. He's walking and limping, but he's got his arm around somebody else. He's got his arm around his back, with his arm around his neck, and he's walking alongside him, carrying him to safety. See, he's walking wounded himself because he's been hurt in the same incident. But he's in a position now to help somebody else. See, his wounds have positioned him to walk with the wounded. It's the same with us. Our wounds position us to walk with the wounded. Paul in the Bible puts it this way in the Message version. He said, God comes alongside us when we're going through it. And before you know it, he brings us alongside somebody else who's going through it. And I know many of you have been through it. Listen, when you've been through it, you can then help others go through it. Because it's your wounds that position you to walk with the wounded. Cyril was abused and he used to cut himself. Now he speaks to those who are being abused. He texts me when he's doing it. And those who self-harm, see, his wounds have positioned him. Lisa was a working girl and she was attacked. Now every week she's working with sex workers in Manchester near Strangeways Prison. And she goes into Style Prison speaking to victims of violence. Her wounds have positioned her. I was an addict and have been in jail. Now I facilitate a conference for addicts in partnership with Victory and with the help of Amber Burgess, by the way, who's joined us a few months ago. So now she's doing a lot of the work. I speak in 30 jails a year. See, my wounds have positioned me, you see. We've been through it. And now with God on our case, we're able to help others grow through it. I was speaking in a jail in Yorkshire. And after they finished, this little lad came up to me. He's actually a young offender. He went, "Hey, mate, you're from Manchester, innit?" I said, "Yeah, mate, I'm from Manchester, innit?" He went, "Nice one. Top one. Sorted. So am I." I said, "What are you doing here in Yorkshire if you're from Manchester?" He said, "They shipped me out, didn't they? They bang out of order. Innit?" And then he said, "Hey, mate, thanks for coming in. It means a lot hearing it from somebody like you. Someone who's been through it makes me realize if you can come through it, I can come through it, innit?" See, we've been through it. And now with God in the driving seat, we're able to help others go through it. You see, our wounds have positioned us to walk with the wounded. What about your wounds? How do your wounds position you? What kind of walking wounded person could you come and walk alongside? See, I know you've been wounded. It's those wounds that position you to walk with the wounded. I'm going to finish by taking us back to my flat. In that tower block on the 7th floor on Darnhill Council Estate. 2 o'clock in the morning, whizzing off ahead, smoking weed, listening to techno. The door went, it was Bobby, came in, he sits down, he goes to the toilet and he comes back wearing my watch. I wasn't happy, so I grabbed my right stick and I laid into him. He rushes out of the flat. 5 minutes later, the police came bursting through the door. One of them was chatting on his radio. "The victim isn't here, he's gone." And then he said, "He's walking wounded." This is the term used by the emergency services for someone who's been wounded in an incident, but is still able to walk. Listen, we are all walking wounded. Listen up. But some of you are more wounded than others because some of you have not got God in the driving seat of your life because you haven't given him consent to come in. I remember going to score some drugs in Moss Side once. It used to be Hartblag and now it's Heineken, that big place on the corner. That was known as the front. There was a couple of fronts over the years, but then that was the front. And I went to the front. I remember this guy pulling a knife on me. forcing his way into my car. He's in the back of my car. He's got the knife to my throat and he says, take me to Wally Range. Okay. Took him to Wally Range. God will never do that to you. He'll never force his way into your life. He'll never hold a knife at your throat. He'll only ever come in if you give him consent to come in. And there's some of you here this morning who haven't given God consent to come in. It could be that you've been coming to this church. And I can understand why you come to this church. And I listen to the vision of VO and I come here every year. I look forward to this and what it's about. This, if I wasn't at the bridge, this would be my church. This would be our church. I couldn't understand why you come here. The vision and the passion and all that it's about, it's amazing. So I can understand why you're coming to this church. But you're probably sat at the back or sat out of the way and you've not really got involved and you've never given God consent to come into your life. You've never given permission to come in. Well, you can do that right now. So I'm going to invite everybody to stand. No going outside for a smoke just yet. I'm going to finish by praying a prayer. This prayer is for you as an individual to give God consent to come into your life. It could be that you've been brought by a friend, you didn't know what to expect. Pray this prayer, give God consent to come in. It could be that you're coming from the streets. It could be that you've seen a bit of an advertisement somewhere and that's brought you in. It doesn't matter how you've got here. If you've never given God consent to come in, you're going to pray this prayer. You're going to give him consent to come into your life. You need to park your pride outside. I'm going to pray this prayer. There are two groups of people going to pray this prayer with me. The first group are those people who have never prayed a prayer before. You've never given God consent to come in. You're going to pray this prayer. You're going to give him consent to come in. The second group are those people who at some point on your journey, you've given God consent to come in, but you know right now you're not cutting it. Listen. That's okay. The Bible says there's no condemnation. Pray this prayer, get back on track though, and carry on with the rest of your Christian journey. So the two groups, those who have never prayed a prayer before, it doesn't matter whether you're 9, 19 or 99, you're going to pray this prayer. You're going to give God consent to come in. The first group, the second group, those people who have prayed a prayer, you've started your Christian journey, but you're not living how I want you to live, you're going to pray this prayer to get back on track. Everybody else, you are the third group. You're going to pray this prayer to encourage the first group and the second group. Are we ready? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray this prayer together. Again, park your pride outside. Don't let your pride get in the way. All three groups, repeat after me. Dear God, I come to you today and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for all my faults, for all my flaws, and for all my failures. God, I ask that you wipe my slate clean because right here, right now, I'm praying a prayer to give you consent to come in. I want you to sit in my driving seat. I want you to activate my plan. I want you to come alongside me and get busy bandaging my wounds. While our heads are bowed, no looking around. If you've prayed that prayer, you're part of the first group or the second group. I want you to raise your hand so I can see it.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.